We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator Miller, as we know, the budget impasse is having a lot of impacts that will become more evident over time. Do you think the budget standoff makes it less likely that there will be a fall session or fall finance hearings to consider the PawSox Stadium proposal?
I think that a fall session is totally appropriate this session, maybe more than any year. Not necessarily because of the PawSox, because everything else that is outstanding, including a very impressive group of bills that have not yet been able to be enacted upon.
Such as?
Such as we left the domestic violence bill on the desk. We left the justice reform bills. We left the raises for SEIU, which are part of the budget for the frontline workers in many departments, were left on the table. The six-time legislation, several renewable energy efforts. There's a series of bills that in any state would be considered a very impressive, progressive, democratic agenda that we have basically abandoned based on the budget standoff.
All right. And you say a fall session would be appropriate. It remains very uncertain about whether that will happen. And before we go to Scott, I just want to follow up on my question on the PawSox. It seems as if outside of Pawtucket, support is very soft among public officials for using public money, even if it will be paid back for a PawSox stadium. Do you expect right now that the PawSox will stay in Rhode Island or wind up leaving the state?
I think it's a toss-up. I think that what the people who are opposed to any state subsidy to a stadium, and it's not really a subsidy as the way I see it. It's a finance structure in which the state participates. But I think that nuance might change with a Worcester play. And so it'll be interesting to see if people will say, well, wait a minute, if it's going to go to another state or another city, that we might have a different feeling towards it.
All right, let's go to Scott.
You know, I'm wondering, is there a better way to resolve these standoffs? Years ago, I used to cover the Vermont legislature, and they had a conference committee system where when there was a dispute between the House and the Senate, each side appointed three members of the chambers, respective chambers, and they sat down and hashed it out.
Well, actually, that exists in almost 40 states throughout the country, including Massachusetts. And actually, we have a great opportunity that we're going to take advantage of. In the first week of August, the National Council of State Legislatures is having its national convention in Boston, and we've already planned to meet with Massachusetts legislators and others on how effective those conference committees are, whether they be appropriate in Rhode Island.
When you say we, do you mean the Senate or the Senate and the House?
We have Senate and House representatives going. We've already arranged to have meetings with Massachusetts leadership on explaining us how it works for them. They reconciled their budget this year. They came to a standoff, and they reconciled their House and Senate standoff in a conference committee structure.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your constituents in Cranston, and you have a little bit of Providence, about the budget impasse?
I haven't gotten a lot of feedback yet. I mean, it is July and a lot of people are away, but people are frustrated by the process and watching the process and knowing that there's not a lot they can do about it. I think it's very frustrating for people, and seeing a lot of them, a lot of the initiatives we talked about are initiatives that had a lot of groundswell support, and they're tired of seeing those kind of efforts being put by the wayside by a budget impasse.
I'm wondering why it's so difficult over the years to enact one of your major legislative pushes that you've had, which is legalizing marijuana. Are you surprised that the recovery community and law enforcement have been so down on this?
Yes, because I think the way that it's structured, it gives them a lot of resources to really have an impact in a positive way. A lot of the revenue goes towards recovery efforts. I wouldn't say the recovery community is opposed to it. I would say that
elements
always have been. But there's a very strong element who realize that marijuana is not the addictive drug that kills people, and that a good structured tax and regulate system actually creates a positive revenue stream for those efforts towards recovery. And so there's an inevitable swing. There already is a electoral swing towards supporting it. And there's an inevitable swing within any legislature, including the Rhode Island legislature, towards this.
We're talking here with State Senator Josh Miller, a Cranston Democrat, and Senate President Ruggiero appointed you to a new role this year as chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Caucus. As chairman of that, I wonder if it troubles you that President Ruggiero and Speaker Mattiello seem very uninterested in letting lawmakers vote on giving Rhode Island women a guaranteed right to an abortion, which seems like a very mainstream concept in the Democratic Party.
There are a lot of mainstream concepts that are left by the wayside because of the budget impasse, and that's one of them, but it's not the only one. We have.
But was that even going to come to the floor of the House or Senate of the House or Senate for a vote? That seems unlikely.
At least we had a hearing on the Senate side on it. What they did embrace was my bill preserving the most important components of the ACA into Rhode Island law. And we were negotiating that up until the afternoon of the last day of session.
What do you think it would take at this point for Speaker Mattiello and Senate President Ruggiero to just sit down and work this out? I mean, there isn't a lot of huge things at stake when it comes to the budget.
There's not a lot in the most of the budget was agreed to. There were some very important concerns that were, from the Senate all session that we felt a lot of those were resolved, but not all of them. So
one of them wasn't.
One of them wasn't, but in general it was. And so I feel that there's not a lot that separates us.
I am surprised, though, that the Senate Finance Committee did not add the car tax release amendment to the budget, and it seemed like the House has a point when they say this thing was thrown at us at 11th hour.
I felt that it has a lot to do with other issues, as people have discussed in general inside the building or outside the building or in the media, and it was an important way to get everybody's attention to other things beyond the budget that are important to all of us.
But doesn't it make you folks look a little foolish, in the eyes of the public, that here you've been there for 6 months and you can't pass the state budget on time?
I don't feel foolish. I worked right up into the last minute on several initiatives.
I mean the leadership.
The leadership is the leadership. I'll tell you what I did throughout the session and what I did on the last day of session. I worked on bills with the Attorney General and Rep. Serpa on behalf of getting coverage for, you talked about the recovery community. We worked very hard on a legislation that would make sure that people were covered and could stay in inpatient care for recovery, so from addiction. So I worked very hard on a series of bills up until the very last minute, and I think a lot of people did.
We're coming up on an election year next year, Senator Miller, so I wonder if you're planning to seek re-election.
Yes.
And what letter grade would you give to Governor Raimondo for her job performance, and are you planning to support her for re-election?
I would support her. I would letter grade. I would say an A for effort and a B for carrying through.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here, as always.
And Cranston State Senator Josh Miller.
Thank you.